There's a word that seems to always grab my attention, and I would say the attention of most every man or woman who hears it. Whenever it's heard on a television ad, or it's seen on a store sign, it gets attention of the hearer or reader. And that word is free. Free. We like that word. We like it because it means without charge. It doesn't cost us anything. Now, that's a common thing nowadays to hear statements like, well, you know, there's really nothing that's free. And I suppose as far as the world and the things of the world are concerned, that's a correct statement. I know a man who has a business, and the name of the business is Tanstaffel. I thought, what a weird name for a business. Tanstaffel. And I did business with this gentleman for many years. He was a supplier of mine. And finally, one day, years had passed, just Tanstaffel. And my curiosity was killing me. And we had a little time, and we're talking on the phone. And I asked him, I said, how did you come up with that name? And he chuckled, and he said, I'm asked that question quite often. Do you know why he named his business that? Tanstaffel. There ain't no such thing as a free lunch. That's exactly right. That was what he named it. And I knew exactly what he meant. Seems like there's a catch or a condition every time that word free is used. Buy one, get one free. That usually means we're going to charge you double for the first one. Buy this or that, and we're going to throw something else in free. That usually means we've already added the cost into the price. Or how about, for the same price, we're going to throw in two of these slicer dicers or whatever it is. The only thing is, you just pay shipping and handling on the one, which is usually more than the cost of the item. It's that fine print, isn't it? Free. Free. And even in religion, my dear friends, men say that salvation is free. But you have to add something of your own to it, they say. Well, then it's not free, is it? If you have to add, earn, or deserve, then it's not free. I know it's free. But men will tell you that it's free and then say you've got to add something to it. God's word is clear that we're all sinners and we deserve death and we deserve condemnation. The scriptures clearly claim the wages of sin is death. Death is what sinners deserve. Condemnation is what we've earned for our work. Now you think about it for a moment. We work to earn wages, and the wages of our work we deserve. How many of you, though you may love your job, how many of you get up day after day and go to your job because you just love it? Oh, you go for your wages. You go because you want your just recompense. We work to earn wages, and the wages of our work we deserve. But with God, the wages of our works of righteousness, sinfulness, selfishness is death. That's what you deserve. You read God's book, that's what it says. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. But there is a but in that verse. Don't you love that little three-letter word when you see it in the Scriptures? It says, but the gift of God. Go ahead and turn there, Romans 6:23. We're going to take our text from that chapter anyway. Look at it for yourself, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let me ask you something else. What does a gift cost? If it's truly a gift, then it's free, is it not? There's nothing freer than a gift. There's nothing freer than free if it's truly free. Look at verse 17 of Romans 6. But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. You and I, dear friends, were born servants of sin. Sin is not what we do. Sin is what we are. We sin because we're sinners. We sin because we're sin. Sin is absolutely, and you think about this, I did for a while. Sin is really the only thing that truly is ours and not of God. Everything else we enjoy in this life is a gift of God. Everything but our sin. That's something we can definitely call our own, isn't it? Well, men will tell you, they'll tell you, well, you're not that bad. Now, you're not that bad. You have a free will. You have a sense of what's right. Now, use that free will, use that sense of what's right, and decide today to choose Jesus. I heard that all my life. I heard it so much that I didn't want nothing to do with that Jesus. He was trying, but couldn't. He was willing, but I wouldn't let him. The decision was up to me. Won't you let Jesus have his way? That ain't much of Jesus, is it? That ain't much of God. Let God have his way. Let go. Let God. They ain't talking about the God of this Bible. They're not talking about the God of the universe, the God who spoke these worlds into existence, the God that breathed the breath of life into a piece of dirt and he became a man, and the same God that breathes life into the nostrils of dead dog sinners. This is God. This is God. There's never been a bigger lie told. You cannot come that you might have life. That's what Christ said in John 6:44. He said, no man can come to me. And then he used that word, except. That's another but, isn't it? But. No man can come to me except, but, unless, what? The Father which has sent me draw him. Salvation's of the Lord. I did the sinning. He did the saving. I have a friend that believes that he's bound for heaven because he endeavors to do, and I quote, the right thing. His motto is just do the right thing. That's all you can do. You can just do the right thing. But it's impossible for us to do the right thing. Look, keep your place here. Turn back just a few pages to Romans 3. Look at verse 10. Do the right thing. Romans 3:10. It is as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. How am I going to do the right thing? There's no righteousness in me, nothing right about me. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. How can something that's unprofitable do the right thing? There's none that doeth good. Do the right thing? There's none that doeth good. No, not one. I love how Paul continues to reiterate this. He said, there's none righteous, not a one. Search your heart. Don't raise your hand and say you're righteous. There's not a one. He said, they're all gone out of the way. He said, there's none that doeth good. Now hold it. Not a one. How then can I do the right thing? There's none righteous. Not a one. There's none that understands God in their own condition. You ask a normal guy on the street, and you say, are you a sinner? He goes, well, I'm a sinner, but I'm not all that bad. Oh, you better read this book. Altogether unprofitable. Man in his best state, altogether vanity. There's none that seeketh after God, not a one. God looked down from heaven and he saw that the imagination of man was only evil continually. You think God destroyed the world in the day of Noah just because he wanted somebody to build a boat? No, sirree. It was a wicked and evil generation. And God said, I've had enough. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What made Noah differ from those that drowned? God's grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you've heard me say this often. And I'm not against bumper stickers, and I'm not going to climb up on a soapbox, but I see these stickers that says, smile, God loves you. Can you imagine seeing that on the back of that ark as the water swallowed you up? Smile, God loves you. I'm drowning. What kind of love is this? And Noah would have drowned too if he hadn't found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Okay, back to Romans 6. Look at verse 18. Being then, what? Made free. Free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. How is a man or a woman made a servant of righteousness? It answers it right here. Look at it good now. Being made free from sin. How are you made free from sin? Write it down. Read it over again in your Bible. It's found in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? Didn't even know sin. That we might, what? Be made the righteousness of God in him. Does it say anything in there about the exchange of money? Does it say anything in there about earning or deserving anything? Absolutely not. It's by the sovereign, free grace of God in Christ. Christ was made to be what you are, that you might be made to be what he was. And what was he? He was all that God. He possessed everything that God required. He was perfectly righteous and holy. To be reconciled to God now, we got to be perfect. Perfect. The scriptures teach us that if we offend the law in one little area, we're guilty of the whole law. And the law was never given for us to keep. It was given to show us our inability of keeping it. We're all sinners. There's none that doeth good. That ought to have been our first clue that the law wasn't given to keep. Because there's none that doeth good. That's what God requires, perfect righteousness. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. Oh, that's a good description of us, just from one thing to another, ain't it? Iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Paul says here, I need to speak to you in familiar human terms because spiritual truth is possible for you to understand. He said, there's none that understand it. He said, you cannot see spiritual things unless God Almighty gives you eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to believe. You can't even see it. That's what Christ told Nicodemus. You can't even see the kingdom of God, much less enter into it, until you're born again, until God does a work in your heart. And dear friends, whether we admit it or not, in the past we cheerfully gave our minds and our hearts and our tongues and our hands to do evil. Now you don't have to raise your hand and say, I did, but you search your own heart. You search your own heart. And now, by God's grace, we cheerfully yield them to God and to holiness. Oh, have I attained? Have I reached perfection? Absolutely not. And I want this side of glory. But this one thing I do, I forget those things that are behind me. Forget them. I can't change them. And chances are I'd do them all over again because of what I am. But I press on. I press on to the mark of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Verse 20, for when we were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. When we were the servants of sin, we were free. And that word means void in this text, means void and without any righteousness that we could call our own. But verse 21 says, and what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. The wages of sin is death. We had no use. I didn't. I had no use or interest in the righteousness of God. My motto was, if it feels good, do it. What benefit, Paul asked, did our evil and sin bring us? Can you think of any? Can you think of any that from your past, did any of your evil and sin bring you anything? The only fruit of wages that come from sin is death, condemnation. Verse 22, but now being what? Made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end now is everlasting life. What a difference grace has made. What a difference. See, now we're made free from sin. Free from sin, we've become servants of God. Our fruit, our wages, and our holiness, now in the end, what do they bring forth? What does it say? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. I wonder what men would pay for a life without end. Well, if they're to have it, they can pay nothing. It's not for sale. It's free. It's free. Free from sin. Oh, cherish that thought, dear believer. Sin no more has dominion over us. Look back at verse 14. That's what it says. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but you're under what? Grace. Where does grace come from? God. Oh, the grace of God. Under grace. Do you know why we call it free grace? It's not a hard question, is it? It's free. We call it free grace because it's free grace. It's free. Look at verse 23. We read it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through. Never forget that. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, if you continue in sin, dear friend, you will die, and you'll die spiritually, and you'll die forever. But God has a gift. And that gift is eternal life. That gift of eternal life is not anything that you do, but trusting, bowing, and obeying Jesus Christ the Lord. And you can't even do that unless God does work in you. God causes us to take sides with Him against our sin. There was a time when somebody said, well, you know, brother, you're just a sinner. Well, we'd have been fighting. And one day, a preacher stood before me and he said, you're a sinner and you deserve death. And I went, that's right. I am. Who made thee to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive? And if you received it, why do you glory in it? It's a free gift. We call it free sovereign grace because it was given to us by a sovereign God. He didn't have to. He could have passed us by. Would have been no less God. Would have been no less holy. And would have definitely been no less right had He passed us by. But God causes the sinner like He did old Fanny Crosby to say, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, please, please don't pass me by. Don't pass me by. Yes, God has a gift. That gift is eternal life, and that gift is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. Listen, salvation is the Lord. We're saved by whom? There's redemption in a person. And that is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, that gift cannot be earned, it can't be bought, and it's definitely not deserved. It's free to you. Do you need it? Do you need it? Do you desire it? All the fitness that God requires is that you what? Feel your need of Him. That's all God requires. Do you need Him? Do you desire Him? Do you want Him? Paul wrote in Galatians 5, verse 1, he said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Works religion is bondage. You know why? Because you can't ever do enough. You can't ever do enough. You know another reason? It makes you feel good about you. It's what I did for the Lord. Gotta come down. Gotta come down. John the Baptist said it best, didn't he? He said, he must increase. I must decrease. And only God can do that in the heart of a sinner. Who's made us free? Christ has made us free. And in verse 24, it says, being justified. How? Freely. By His grace. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Man, that's full of gospel there, isn't it? There's only one way to be justified. Do you know that way? It's freely. Justified freely. Am I starting to sound like a broken record? I hope so. It's freely given one way. How's that? By His grace. By His grace through what? The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption. You know what that word means? It means deliverance. But it means more than that. It means deliverance by payment or ransom. Well, I thought you just said that it was free, Pastor. It's free to you. It's free to you. Look back at Isaiah chapter 55 with me. You got to see this. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. Thought you said it was free. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. You know what that word waters there means? Washing. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. What? How can I buy if I don't have any money? I can tell you real quick. Somebody else paid it for you. That's how you come and die and eat. Somebody else paid the bill. Somebody else paid the debt. Come buy wine, which that word wine there speaks of the blood of Christ. And milk, that word means abundance. And come and buy these things, how? Without money and without price. There's a washing, dear friends, it's free. That washing is by the blood of Christ, which is represented by the wine. And we have the milk of God's Word, which is Christ, and the abundance that we have in Him. Without money. Without money. Come to Jesus now and buy. How do you buy something without money? You can't unless someone else pays for it for you. Are you thirsty? That's the real question. Are you thirsty? Come ye to the water of life. Christ said, the water that I give, you never thirst again. Not about spilt mine. Are you hungry? Come ye and buy and eat and be filled. Ephesians 3:19 says, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be what? Filled with all the fullness of God. Christ is the fullness of God. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. You don't need money. Eternal life is free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me ask you, how can a helpless beggar that has nothing by without money, because it's without price to mercy beggars. It's free. The problem is it's hard to find mercy beggars, because men want to have something to do with their salvation. Salvation's free. Just give your heart to Jesus. That's not free. I'm giving something. Give my heart. He don't want that wicked, wretched thing. Matter of fact, salvation's him taking out that heart and putting in a new one. David said, create in me a new heart. Now let me tell you something, friends. It's free to you, but it costs God His Son. It costs Christ His life. And to add anything to the work of Christ is to say that Christ is nothing. Galatians 5 teaches that quite plainly. He said, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, if you bound and determined to do something according to the works of the law, like circumcision, he said, Christ shall profit you nothing. You know why? Because you're trying to add. You're trying to pay. It's free. You can't pay. You can't get it that way. He said, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's debtor to do the whole law. If you're going to do that, you better do all the rest of it. And it says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you who are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. You're so far away from grace that you can't even see it. Now, friends, it's either by grace or it's by works. And you can't work your way. You can't do it. It's free. If you're trying to buy or work your way to God, then you've fallen from grace. You've fallen from grace. As believers, Christ is the only profitable thing that we have. Christ will profit you nothing if you endeavor to do it the other way. Lay down your works. Lay them down. Throw them down. Throw away your self-righteousness. Stop working and start believing. Start trusting in the one who did for you what you could not do for yourself. I'll tell you what. If you'll throw it down, start believing and trusting Him and Him alone, Christ will profit you everything. Everything. Do you know what the name of Jesus means? It means Jehovah is salvation. Do you know what the name Christ means? It means the Anointed One. You put those two together, Jesus Christ, it means Jehovah is salvation, the Anointed One. Isn't that good? He is salvation. Christ is salvation. That pretty much says it all. Now let me ask you one last question and I'll wrap this up. What did you or I do to deserve this marvelous free gift from Jehovah, our salvation, the Anointed One? And before you answer, let me tell you something. It's a trick question. It's a trick question. I used to hate it when teachers would give you trick questions. So let me ask you again, in case you missed it, what did you or I do to deserve this marvelous free gift? Well, that's just a contradiction in the question, isn't it? Nothing. We didn't do or deserve nothing. Nothing. It's not anything that we can do or anything that we deserve. It's a free gift. Free, free, free. Grace means unmerited favor. It cannot be merited. What is unmerited favor? It's favor unmerited. Wow, I'm just being really profound this morning. Let me tell you something. It's profound in the design of God. But if God gives you ears to hear and eyes to see, it's so simple. The simplicity of Christ. All that means is that if you're going to be saved, it has to be Christ that saved you. You're going to have to bow to that. You have to bow to that. There's absolutely nothing in man to attract the love of God to him. The love of God to man existed before there ever was a man. That's right. He loved his chosen people before any of them ever been created. I tell you what, it's not by works of righteousness that I've done, because I haven't done any. Before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever made, God freely gave us all things in Christ. God set his heart upon his beloved and he ordained them unto eternal life. That's what Acts says, as many as were ordained to eternal life, what believed. What does Ephesians 1:4 says? It says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us in Christ. He purposed in sovereign love that we would be holy and without blame before him. How? In love. The love of Christ. God loves us only when we're found in his Son. There's no other place. Okay, one last scripture, and I promise I'm done. John chapter 16. I want you to see this, and I'll wrap it up. We're going to partake of the Lord's table. John chapter 16. Look at verse 27. Now listen to this. This is amazing. We read it slow. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me. Why does the Father love a sinner? Because the sinner loves his Son. And you believe that I came out from God. God only loves sinners, dear friends, that love his Son. That's it. That's the truth. There's no love of God outside of Christ. You can bet your bottom dollar that his love for you and your love for Christ is free. Hosea 14:4 says, I will heal their backsliding and I will love them freely. Freely. And that verse also says, for mine anger is turned away from him. In Psalm 7:11, it says, the Lord, God who is angry with the wicked every day. And Hosea 14:4 says, mine anger turned away from him. Why? Free gift of God in Christ. Now you tell me that's not good news. If you're a sinner, it's good news. If you're a wretched, undeserving, worthless, no-count sinner, you never heard any better news than that. That's the gospel, my friends. That's the gospel. Okay, if the men that serve in the Lord's table will come forward.